Welcome to Theology Simply Profound, a podcast of Reformed Forum. This is episode 199.
Sometimes parents will say to their kids that they're not allowed to do such and such. A warning from authority sometimes invokes a desire for that very activity. Such as when my brother and I were told not to throw couch cushions at each other in our house. Of course, when my parents left for the evening and the couch cushions started flying and the window was broken, punishment followed. Warnings had been given, but in the moment of disobedience, the warnings were forgotten. Most people in this world know the stories of Noah and the ark, and of Sodom and Gomorrah. Most people who believe that there is a God who will judge the wicked, the problem is they don't really believe that those stories are true, and they don't believe that they're wicked. Only really bad people will be punished, and they're not the really bad people. Jesus himself told us that people will be going about their regular lives when he returns, just like they were doing in Sodom and Gomorrah and in the days of Noah. The judgment will come, and it will be the judgment of a king upon disobedient servants. If Jesus is king right now, can we tell what the kingdom is and what it's doing right now? Should we be sectioning off land that we have declared to be the kingdom? Should we get our own flag? We will discuss these and other questions today on Theology Simply Profound.
Welcome back to another episode of Theology Simply Profound. My name is Bob Turlow. I serve as pastor here at Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Indian Head Park, Illinois. With me, as always, is Rob McKenzie. Rob is an MDiv student at RTS, Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando. Hey, Rob.
Hello. We have to talk fast. We have to hurry up and get the... We have to talk fast.
Oh, okay. Yes, we have to talk fast. We only have 30 minutes to record. Not even that anymore.
25 minutes, not even 20 minutes.
Rob's busy. I have a class to go to.
I just got out of a meeting. I've got another meeting to go to.
Yep. So we're kind of like fitting this in.
Okay. Well, and also,
so what are we talking about then?
We also have to hurry up because apparently the sun is going to make an appointment with us today, and he's going to come down and sit on top of us.
Yes, it's about 90, 93. It's high 90s. It's mid to high 90s, yeah.
So
warm and humid.
I know.
Welcome to Chicago in the midst of riots, protests, and various other things that go on in this world.
It has been surreal to watch, to hear all, you know, I'm sitting in my house hearing the sirens. Mm-hmm. And
we did about last night too.
And I live about 4 miles from where I grew up. I live about 2 miles from the main hub of where I grew up. And so the mall that I grew up going to, of course, that I haven't really been to.
Right.
But that mall is, you know, there's spitting set on fire and they're looting and people's homes are getting broken into. And all these businesses that I knew growing up are now destroyed.
I didn't hear about homes being residential. Homes
in Cicero, some homes got broken into, just residential.
Yeah. I did see that. National Guard was brought into Cicero. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really is surreal, the whole thing. And
what makes it even more ominous, just strange. I mean, we were in strange days already.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
2.5 months, the nation was pretty much locked down. A man was murdered, and then there were normal protests, and then there were riots that came out as a result of all of that, which, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of politics there that we could talk about, but now's not the day. And we hate murder and we hate violence as Christians.
If people want to gather together to peacefully
protest, that's right. Absolutely.
That's First Amendment right.
Right. But we hate murder and we hate violence as Christians. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that that's always clear. But it and it's something of a segue into, you know, what we're talking about today, right? Because, you know, we've talked about the kingdom of God, we've talked about the fourfold estate of man as a general sort of rubric, and innocence, fall, redemption or salvation and glory, and you know, that fall category, you know, in the Presbyterian tradition, it's sort of given a shorthand also of this, the estate of sin and misery, which truly describes that estate. So, you know, how'd we get there?
Well, when Adam, it's interesting, when I was reading over this lesson, that we're kind of cutting in half today.
But
the lesson, so we're talking about the kingdom of Satan, where Adam and Eve, they sin. And we have this scene that we're given of God coming down to them, this probably the pre-incarnate Christ coming into the garden. And he says, calling out to them, where are you? Where are you? Now, of course, we all know he's God. He knows where they are. And so it's not just a locational question. He's not really asking where they physically are. He's basically saying, where have you gone to? Where are you now? I left you in this garden to be my image, to you were in the kingdom of God, and now you are no longer in that kingdom. Adam and Eve passed from the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, in the fall, to the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness. And so when God comes down and says, where are you? I mean, it's a statement of where they've gone from to where they've gone to. The kingdom itself was supposed to be spread throughout the earth as they cultivated the earth, as they bore children, other image bearers who would also bear children, other image bearers, to the point where the whole earth was cultivated, the kingdom itself had spread upon the whole earth, and all the people of God had been born and were throughout the whole earth as the image of God. And so when God says, where are you, that everything that God had commanded them to do had was no longer going to be done. It couldn't be done. It was impossible for Adam and Eve to now go forth and be obedient to the commands that God had given to propagate this kingdom, because they were no longer in that kingdom.
And, you know, actually some people do say where are you means God didn't know. obviously, and Bible believers don't, though. But there's a real translation that takes place, right? There's a transition. And to go back to the same theme we've been using, from the estate of innocence into the estate of sin and misery, right? And there's a movement of humanity from one place to another. And that movement, entrance into another kingdom, is what Jesus comes to to change, to give access into and bring his people into another kingdom, back into, I can't say back into, but into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And so when we're talking about the kingdom of Satan, and we describe it with just two short words of sin and misery, right? This kingdom where evil dwells or rules, essentially. Now, are we talking then about a kingdom that is completely separate from God's will? I mean, is it outside of his realm? We're talking kingdom, all right? Two kingdoms here. I mean, we're not talking the debate about two kingdoms. But you're using language of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. So how do we fit this into the whole schema of the world we live in?
Well, Satan himself actually tells us when he's with the temptations of Jesus.
And we believe him.
And we're going to believe him in this instance, because he's making a statement of fact. He says to Jesus, fall down and worship me, and I will give you all these kingdoms that have been given to me. So he's right there saying he understands that the authority that he has is not something that he decided to take. It was something that had to be given. So when Satan comes into the kingdom in the garden and mankind falls, and the curse is then overlaid into the earth and on man, the kingdom of Satan has now gathered in territory. But it can only have been done and only can stand if God allows it to stand.
Right. You can kind of get the sense of the early part of Job, right?
Yeah.
Where you have Satan coming and and there's that interaction and God gives Satan permission to do certain things. And it's he's given essentially permission for Satan to do certain things in this world that, that God has created because of the fall. And he turns the whole earth over to the curse. And the curse is essentially where Satan rules and the, wherever the curse is. And that's the whole of the created cosmos. And we see that all over, right? And you have all the little individual curses that come down on Adam, on Eve, and on the land and everything. And toiling is going to be difficult. And you go out and you, you're gardening, you realize, man, what gardening could have been like before the fall. So, yeah.
Well, it's, I mean, we see this, like you said, with Job, he says, I'm going to, basically, I want to test him. And God says, you can do this, this, and this, but you can't do this.
Right.
And we see this with Peter. Satan has asked for you. He had to ask. And Satan wanted to destroy
to sift
Peter.
You. Yeah.
Yeah. He wants to sift him. And so he had to ask to do that. And God allowed him to do that, but only up to a certain degree. He, Satan did get to tempt Peter, and Peter fell into that temptation,
right?
And when he realized it, he wept bitterly. But God restored him. You know, we see Jesus restoring him on the beach when he asked him to, as if he loves him, three times. It's that restoration of Peter, because God does that for His people. We do sin and we fall into sin. We fall into temptations. We should try to do our best to avoid temptation and to resist the devil. But we do of our own will. Sin, and then, but if we are God's people, then He will always bring us back. He will always give us that that prompting to repent of our sin and be restored.
Right, right, and it's. I mean, the passage you brought up is a wonderful passage because it's where we hear of Peter or Jesus praying for Peter. You know, and he's restored through the prayers of Christ Himself, which is just a beautiful passage there at the end of Luke, just really, really delightful.
Right, and it's interesting because Jesus says, you will deny me. So here's Jesus saying, Satan's asked for you to sift you. I'm going to pray for you. And I think you're right that it's he's not praying for him to avoid the temptation or to even not fall, because Jesus already said, you will deny me.
Right.
He will say that. And so, but it's that restoration that the prayer is aimed at.
Yeah, to bring him to repentance and that he will turn away from the way he went, the denial.
Yeah, he'll learn from it.
Yeah, he'll learn from it and he will change. There'll be a that repentance, change of mind.
So we go back to when we're talking about the fourfold estate of man, when Adam and Eve fall, they go from fully righteous with the ability to fall to totally depraved. Without the ability to do good, until we see this moment of probably salvation, where God comes and Jesus comes, and the sacrifice of the animals, the clothing,
He clothes them,
that, and
yeah, and an then, outward symbol of the inward act,
and we see that that word of faith from Eve saying that I've received a man from the Lord, that anticipation of. Here he is. We're going to have this. My seed is going to come, and here he is.
Right, right.
And then it turns out to be the first murderer.
Yeah.
But but that's, you know, that's what we have to understand, is that God has a plan, and that we are looking forward to it, just as Eve was looking forward to it. And we should have that that hope and optimism that Christ is going to return at any moment, and that His kingdom is going to destroy the kingdom of Satan. And now, when we see something like what we've seen in the last few months, with complete almost turmoil, and especially the last 5 days, we think, I was hoping the kingdom of God would have a better impact than what we're seeing.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have the first bit of disease, right, that comes upon us and it confuses more than anything and brings people to fear more than anything. And then you have, you know, I mean, and through all this, there's murders going on, and then there's ongoing murder, and there's a highly public murder, and then there's violence as a result.
And more murders.
And more murders. And there will continue to be more murders, and there will be continue to be things that confuse us and bring us to fear. And that's what's going to continue to happen until the Lord Jesus Christ comes.
Yeah.
And it's only people, Christians, who, and we do this so very weakly and poorly, who can live in this world not by sight. Mm-hmm. If we were only living in this world by sight, what poor fools are we to look out and see hope? Where is the hope? In humankind? Yes, I have been enjoying some good news with John Krasinski. Okay. That's a little YouTube thing that he put up during the COVID thing. I've enjoyed that, but it is all about man. Mm. And it is no good news in reality, because man in the end is not going to accomplish this. It is only through the cross and Christ and faith in him that will bring about any change in humanity. And will help anyone look beyond sight and see by faith that there is another world beyond this world, where there is actual hope in true restoration, true reconciliation with God. You know, we have a loving God because we are God's children. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, there's no hope in this world other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you look out and you see the violence, and you're reminded of that.
Yeah.
And to a certain degree, you have what we might call natural disaster, right? Virus. You have man disaster, violence. Mm-hmm. You have all this violence in the world, and it just proliferates. Now that can cause us to, woe is me, and cry out righteously, I think, and properly, Lord, come quickly, come quickly. Yeah. And for the gospel to go out and be furthered even more, because you just see the devastation that man has on this earth. You see the violence of his hands, that he is, willing in so many ways to destroy himself by murder and violence of all sorts. And where's the hope in that? Yeah. There's nothing there in man.
When Adam and Eve fall and the curse comes into the world, and we start to see people multiplying on the earth, we have this, what we understand is the godly line of Seth and the godly line of, or the ungodly line of Cain, or, and we see this going forth until at some point God just kind of pulls back. And what do we find with Noah? That the whole world is filled with violence, we're told. Mm-hmm. That man does whatever they desire, whatever they see that is good in their eyes. And so man left to himself, mankind left to himself, will be filled with violence and sin. And we have to remember now that there's a restraint that God brings to this world, mm-hmm. that he restrains sin. And so while we pray, and we should pray, that all this violence and fear is alleviated, and that we see justice where justice needs to be found, and we see people being able to walk the streets at night without fear of getting run over, mm-hmm. We should want that. But we should also be thankful that it's not worse, that God is still restraining. And that's our hope, is that God will restrain even more, and that he can. And according to his will, sometimes he restrains more than others, but according to his ordained will. And we have to find our hope in that, because he's the one in control.
Right. Reminded, of course, of Romans 1 in times like this, when you mentioned the restraining of God, right? But then there's a giving them over,
yes,
as well. And at different times, we, like you said, we see the restraint at various levels, and we see that giving over at various levels. And that happens during mob type mindsets. For any person can get into that mob mindset and giving people over and allowing there to be a certain sense of violence in this world. I think to cry out, Lord, have mercy. Yeah. Yeah. Lord, have mercy upon the land we live within. First we were saying that with regard to the virus. Now we're saying it with regard to the violence, virus and violence. Goodness, never thought I would alliterate V's. maybe we should throw,
Vitriol. We'll throw vitriol.
Vitriol, victims. There are innocent people that have, die.
Yep. And their businesses destroyed.
Yeah. All around, so it's... Yeah, it's a nasty world that
we're seeing this. Yeah, and it's something that we can talk about in times when we're peaceful, and we should always talk about all the things in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. But we don't feel it like we do now because we're pushed. No,
we're gripped by it. I mean, yeah. If you turn or listen or whatever, I mean, it's all around. And you know, I just went to Romans 1, but at the same time, when you see how God turns people over to their sin, and more violence seems to occur, more sin. And it just at a more outward, open way, we shouldn't at the same time neglect the earlier parts of Romans, mm-hmm. Where Paul declares that he is not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel is the power of God for right. salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. And mm-hmm. and just in that statement there, you see the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ unto salvation. And you see it goes to all of humanity, right? It goes to Avodi Bachman was, they were throwing clips up on either Facebook, YouTube. I don't remember. I don't know how recent it was or not, but of the social construct of race, right? Yeah. What he was getting at. I've seen him talk about that. And
it's excellent.
He's just such, he's a powerful speaker. He's a powerful man just in his presence. Yeah. But he can communicate in such a way that's quite effective. And that there is, no race based on color. And that's got to be a part of this, conversation mm-hmm. as well. We've talked about it in the past and such. And that means, to the Jew and to the Greek, to the Gentile, to the Jew, to all humanity, this is the power of God unto salvation. Right. And that is something we must delight in and rejoice in and know that power. Mm-hmm. That power brings people from death to life. That is the fact of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not just some, just some trivial romanticizing of language. Right. It is true power, life out of death. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and God is the one who brought the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ into this world to no longer keep us there, but to bring us out, drag us out, so to speak, make us alive together with Christ and seat us up with him in the heavenly places. That's what he does in salvation. And that's what God does through the power of salvation, through the power, that his power, the power of God into salvation, through the one who is descended from David, through the one who was declared to be the Son of God in power. This is earlier in Romans now, Romans 1:4, mm-hmm. according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace in the... So, anyway.
Well, yeah.
Soapbox.
No, that's okay. We, look at the New Testament, and we're told that those who are not Christ are in the kingdom of Satan, that they are... in darkness. They are deaf and blind to the gospel. They are at war with God. They do hate God. This is the condition of man outside of Christ. And yet all of this, we could say, well, yeah, okay, so we can look at put your world dictator in there, world dictator X, and say, yeah, look at what he's doing. This is personifying all these things that the Bible says about those who are outside of Christ, that they're in this kingdom of darkness, they're in the kingdom of Satan. And that is true, and I don't want to take that away. But these things are also applied very descriptively against the Pharisees. And who are the Pharisees? But they were the religious leaders at the time. They were the most righteous. If you just from an outward sign, an outward way, let's look at these Pharisees' lives. Man, they were keeping the law better than anybody was.
Right.
They were. You looked at them and said their righteousness, their actual acts in their life that, of course, are filthy rags because they're outside of faith, but still the way that they lived their lives, people revered, and yet they were the ones that were being told, you are the children of Satan. You are in his kingdom. You are his subjects. And unless any of us who are in that kingdom repent and believe, we will suffer and we will die for an eternal punishment. And so the kingdom of God, as we've been doing now, kind of holding it up against the kingdom of Satan, and we're saying, what is happening right now? There is a war that is happening, and God restrains sin because Satan, in his kingdom, wants to destroy everything. Mm-hmm. He wants to destroy Christ. He wants to destroy Christians. What he's an angry lion waiting to devour us. He wants to destroy all of creation. If it was up to him, everything would just become on fire and melt away, because he hates God that much. Mm-hmm. So he hates what God has created. And so we, as have been brought into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God, need to understand what our main weapon is. It is the gospel.
Yeah.
And so we look around at all of those, whether they are good, righteous pagans, but they're great people, or violent, horrible murderers. We look at both of those categories and say they need the gospel. And so we pray that God would continue to add to his kingdom and destroy the works of the devil.
Well, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound, short as this one was. You can find us at reformforum.org and our all-new designed website there. And for the church that Rob and I serve, you can go to westminsteropc.org. And to find out about other congregations in the OPC in the Chicago area, you can go to chicagoreformed.org. Rob, what's up next time? Are we going to finish this?
Well, next time we're going to talk about us, the people of God.
Oh, just you and me?
No. Just us. And we're going to talk about the people of God and what the kingdom of God, in a positive way, does for our daily lives.
Okay. Again, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Until next time.